After South Dakota Senator Tim Johnson announced in March that he wouldn't seek re-election in 2014, political observers speculated that Johnson's son, U.S. Attorney Brendan Johnson, or former Congresswoman Stephanie Hursa-Sandlin, would run for the Democratic Senate nomination. Since then, though, Hursa-Sandlin has said that she wouldn't run for Senate, and Brendan Johnson has reportedly told others that he's not running either. After speaking to Brendan Johnson, Democrat Rick Wyland announced last month that he's seeking his party's nomination. So far, former Governor Mike Rounds is the only announced Republican Senate candidate. Rick Wyland is a former aide to Senator Tom Daschle and a regional director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. He ran for South Dakota's lone House seat in 1996 and ran for the Democratic nomination for U.S. House in 2002. I spoke to Rick Wyland last week about his campaign and asked him how long he'd been considering a Senate run before making his announcement.
You know, not really. I mean, obviously, you're always following politics. I spent a good part of my early part of my career in politics. Of course, ran for Congress, and you never really completely check out. But this is a big election for South Dakota. It's an open Senate seat. Tim Johnson's, I think, done a phenomenal job representing us in the United States Senate in a real tradition of I think thoughtfulness and caring individual. You know, I really respect and admire him, and I think that it's a real opportunity for the state to, elect another thoughtful, progressive, member to the United States Senate. And I'm hoping that I can demonstrate to a majority of South Dakotans that I'll be on their side. One of the biggest issues we're going to be talking about is how Washington has really just been co-opted by such big special interests, big money, which is controlling everything, it seems, these days. And I think people feel real disconnected from their country, from their government. And we're hoping to launch a real grassroots campaign to take our country back from big money and big special interests. And I think that, in a lot of respects, is what Tim Johnson's always been about, standing up for the little guy. I hate to use that, stand up for ordinary, everyday South Dakotans. And that's what Rick Wyland's going to be about. That's what this campaign's going to be about.
How do you go about doing that, though, to be a successful candidate and to be a successful senator without the big money behind you, without that support that seems to be that just become a part of our political culture these days?
Well, it's a lot of $10 and $20 and $30 contributions, and obviously there are a lot of people who've been pretty fortunate in their lives and been successful that also feel that government isn't working like it needs to. It's probably more broken than it's ever been, and I have confidence that I'll be able to raise enough money to be competitive in this campaign. But I think what's more important than raising the dollar, so much of this modern day campaigning is, raise buckets and buckets of money and buy as much television and airtime, that you can and talk about, issues, carve up your opponent. And that's how we run. I want to go out much like George McGovern did early in the 50s and Jim Abrahams did in the early 70s, West River, and Tom Daschle did in the late 70s, going door to door. There are 311 towns in this state. I've challenged myself and my campaign to try to get to every one of those communities before this campaign is over, holding town hall meetings to talk about how we can take our country back, how we can take our government back from big money that essentially has stolen it right from under our nose in the middle of the night, it almost feels. I was talking to someone the other day, and just the outrage I think people have about Tim Cook, the CEO from Apple, being before Senate committee a couple of weeks ago talking about, we pay all the taxes we owe. That was his statement. And, the follow-up on that was they are parking money in Irish banks, avoiding, and if that money were being parked and deposited in American banks, they'd be paying billions and billions of dollars in taxes. The same day that he was defending this practice, which is legal, We're kicking 73 kids off a head start in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So this Congress is afraid to go after the big corporations and the billionaires, but they're not afraid, you know, through sequestration to kick kids off a head start or to jack up interest rates on student loans. I just think that's wrong. I mean, it's terribly wrong. And we're not investing in our crumbling infrastructure, which will help grow our economy. I mean, we're just making all the wrong choices right now. And that's what I'm hoping to get a chance to talk about in this campaign.
When you discuss sequestration and these other things that are happening in Washington or not happening in Washington, you're talking about what seems to be a broken system. How would you, as a freshman senator from South Dakota, make a difference in any of this? It just seems like it's a huge problem.
It is a huge problem. People just, I think, immediately just kind of want to
throw their hands up.
But I tell you what, I mean, when I talk about big money and powerful special interests, 1900, big money and powerful special interests were ruining the country, and we elected a Republican by the name of Teddy Roosevelt. And he got our country back. He busted the trusts at the time. Fast forward to FDR in the 30s, wild Wall Street speculation going on here, the big crash. Over a period of time, we got back on our feet, we took it back, and then we had the same thing happen in 2008. It can be done. And what no one seems, at least at this point in our democracy, have been able to do is take our vote away. And so I think if there's enough concern and outrage out there that, there's a fight to be had, and it's at the ballot box. And that's one of the, it's probably the central reason I'm running. Even though I haven't been involved, intimately engaged in politics the last decade or so, I've been on the sidelines watching intently and seeing what's happened. I thought it was bad way back when. It's so broken today. This Congress has an 11% approval rating. I mean, what's that tell you? American people have just kind of thrown up their hands and given up. I'm going to ask them not to give up. We can't give up on our country. We can't give up on our form of government. We have a vote. We have the power of the vote, and we can make a difference. We're going to have to get engaged in this election cycle and in this campaign. And as I said earlier, I think one of the things that needs to happen at some point in the very near future is we need to figure out how to get big money out of our political process. That decision by the Supreme Court, was a real death blow, to our democracy, but we can take it back. We can offer a constitutional amendment to turn back that decision, and that's what I'm going to offer if I get elected.
You mentioned that you are running a grassroots campaign. Have you started going to all the counties and the state and getting to as many cities as you can and meeting as many people? Are you still sort of in that getting started?
Yeah,
point?
We're sort of in that startup phase. I mean, I've been out to Rapid City on a quick trip shortly after I announced. There was a conference out there, the Indian Child Welfare Act, ICWA, had a big summit out there, and I was asked to come out and attend. And then I've made a couple of other trips, but I'm just getting things pulled together, the infrastructure in place to support what is going to be a very intense grassroots campaign. I've challenged myself and my campaign to hit all 311 communities in the state over the course of the next 17 months. That's a pretty tall order. We're really going to give it a hard run. I think a lot of this is getting out and talking to people and listening to them and really getting a sense of, because I know there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of hopelessness that, it's just too big a problem. No one can fix it. But we fixed it in 1900 and, we fixed it, during the FDR era. We'll fix it again. We have to believe in our democracy and the right to vote and free speech. And I'm looking to enlist anybody I can in this cause. There's no party behind this. I think there's as much frustration among independents and Republicans as there is in my own Democratic Party. And so this is going to be an effort to reach across the aisle and get everybody involved and engaged in this campaign.
So you think you can get that Republican support that will be
so.
Necessary to win?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at how many people in this state who rely on Medicare and Social Security for their health security and income security in their in the twilight of their life. Now, granted, there are a lot more Republicans than there are Democrats, and there's a growing independent population. But, you know, those programs have been around for over 50 years. And, you know, we're being told by Paul Ryan that we have to reform them to save them. I'd like to see us reform our tax code first before we start kicking people off of Medicare and Social Security. And I'll tell you what, I know there are a lot of Republicans and independents that value those programs too. But that's what Paul Ryan wants to do. I mean, voucherizing Medicare and privatizing Social Security, I just don't think it's going to sell in South Dakota. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You know, that dog won't hunt. And I don't know how you could support those efforts. I don't believe I think the reform in some respects, I mean, to me, is like this sucker punch to try to get people to buy into it and then to turn around and destroy them in the process so they don't have the political support. And so we'll be talking a lot about that as well. You know, programs like that, Head Start. I see student loan, the interest rates are supposed to go up to double here sometime in July. You know, there's just a lot of stuff like that I think will resonate with independents and Republicans, as well as my own party.
There have been some changes in the race since you announced. At least things are starting to settle out a little bit. Stephanie Hirst-Sandlin said that she wouldn't be running. Kristi Noem said on Wednesday that she was going to run for House, not the Senate. Has this changed anything for you regarding getting backing from the National Democratic Party, or has this helped in any way in helping to start to raise the necessary funds to wage a competitive campaign?
Yeah, you know, I've been so focused on you know my campaign. Obviously, I mean you are paying attention to what's going on out there, both within your own party and you know, on the other side. But, you know, at this point, I mean, it has been about building the infrastructure to support a very grassroots effort, you know, to be able to support being on the road, you know, talking to thousands and thousands of South Dakotans in every community in our state. I mean, it's a huge challenge. So, I mean, we've really been gearing up to launch this, and we'll be launching in the next couple of weeks. I think that in terms of the National Democratic Party, you know, I consider myself to be an independent Democrat. Whether or not they get engaged, whenever they get engaged, it's going to be their decision. You know, they obviously have resources to bear to bring to bear on the state, but I feel pretty good about our ability to raise the kind of money we're going to need to raise to be competitive. So we'll have to see how that all plays out down the road. Right now, my focus is on our campaign, taking back our government, taking back our country from big money, and getting on the road and talking to the people of South Dakota.
Do you find that it's still, what, about a year and a half before the fall election in 2014? And it seems like we just had an election a few months ago. Are you finding that people want to talk with
you?
Well,
we just had a good gathering here in town with the Clay County Democrats, and you know, it was a full house. Every seat was filled, and I think there's some interest. I do. I think there's a lot of interest. I think people in South Dakota know what a critical election this is. An open Senate seat does not come up very often. There's no incumbent running. I think the last time it was did probably was 1978 when Jim Abaresque decided not to seek another term. So I think there's going to be a lot of excitement. Of course, you know, Governor Rounds, Mike Rounds came out in October of last year and announced this campaign. I got started May 8th. And so in some respects, he's, you know, got a pretty big jump on me right now. So I don't think, you know, you can get started too early. You know, obviously people pay a lot more attention the closer you get to Election Day. But we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of communities to visit. We got a lot of organization to put together, obviously. And then unfortunately, we got a lot of money to raise, you know, to be competitive. So I don't think it's too early, no.
Comparing this year and 2014 with your previous when you ran for Congress in 1996 and 2002, have you, even though you're just starting this new campaign, things different? Do you have to take into account like social media? I mean, do you have to run a campaign in a completely different way, or is it get back to what you said, just getting out there and shaking hands?
I think you got to do both in today's political environment. And I think in the past, I think we've gotten away from the retail, the grassroots, and because we got lulled into these you know, big money races and raising all this money and buying all this television and radio and newspaper and direct mail time. And I don't think you can do one or the other. I think you have to do both. And you know, has it changed a lot since 2002? Oh, absolutely. I mean, the internet is a phenomenal tool to have in your toolbox in terms of reaching out to voters. I will mention to you that we were the first, I believe, back in I think it was in 1996 when we were running, the first to have a web page in South Dakota politics. But it was just a pay. It was a flash page. It was nothing. It was just a splash page. And now you look at every, you can donate online. You can send out a letter with a box on it that says, you know, was it Act Blue? You can, you know, click the box and you can actually donate online. You know, it's something I wanted to do back in 96, but the technology wasn't there. I always feel like I've been on the cutting edge of some of this stuff, but it's moving so quickly these days, from the voter files to the ability to target, micro-target voters, that I've got some catching up to do. But, you know, all that being said, you know, when you think about the internet and social media and Facebook, and you think about the television ads and the newspaper ads and the radio ads and that more conventional piece, there's nothing that can replace looking someone in the eyes, listening to what they have to say, what they're concerned about, empathizing, being real, being authentic, and then speaking from your heart. Tell them what you think, what you feel, what you're all about, why you're running. I don't think you can capture that in a television ad or a radio ad or a newspaper ad or, you know, even on the internet. And that's why I'm so committed, you know, to getting out and talking to people face to face, because I really think that that will be important to the success of this campaign.
Well, Rick Weiland, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
That's Democrat Rick Weiland, who's seeking his party's nomination for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Tim Johnson. The only announced Republican Senate candidate is former Governor Mike Rounds, and he's been invited to join the program as well to discuss his candidacy. I'm Carl Gerke, and you're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Coming up after a short break, we'll talk with First Lady Linda Dugard about a new initiative recruiting more foster families across South Dakota. Plus, later this hour, we'll hear about SODAC Con 2013 in Rapid City. It's an event dedicated to the appreciation of anime, manga, and geek culture.